Each week, we dive into our more than 250-year history to explore how the region came to be what it is today, as part of 90.5 WESA Celebrates Inventing Pittsburgh. Gay culture didn't develop solely in the biggest cities of the mid-20th century. In Pittsburgh, gay life grew from the city's long-standing culture of private social clubs. Doug Rare started graduate school at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary in 1978.
It was a fun time, but you had to be aware of your surroundings because you could end up in a very bad situation.
Rare is not talking about his religion classes.
I got involved in the bar scene because my work study fell through.
Almost every night, from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., Rare worked at the Tender Trap, a gay bar located on South Highland Avenue in East Liberty.
Oh my God, it was exhilarating, it was liberating.
At the time, Rare needed a little liberation. A fellow student said he was being targeted for being homosexual. He asked Rare to formally come out to the school. Risking alienation, Rare wrote a letter to the administration, and unfortunately, his identity was leaked.
My life for the remainder of the school year was very interesting. You know, students were they were stealing my food from the communal kitchen. I would walk into a bathroom and they would just run out, and it's like, don't flatter yourself.
Rare's story is one of thousands collected by Harrison Apple, co-director of the Pittsburgh Queer History Project.
What our project really tries to do is to preserve a bygone era from the 60s to the 90s of gay and lesbian life in Pittsburgh.
The project began as an undergraduate research fellowship at CMU in the summer of 2012. A friend invited Apple to excavate an abandoned after-hours club in East Liberty. There, he uncovered the remnants of a nearly extinct ecosystem of gay clubs and bars.
It was a time capsule. There was drinks on the bar, soda cans that had been sitting there so long that the acid had eaten through the aluminum. There were keys from an employee of the Nabisco Baking Company, clip-on earrings. I know every kind of brand of cigarette that somebody smoked at that club.
The crux of the excavation was pulled from a found wallet. It was a membership card for Travelers, an after-hours club run by the fulcrum of the city's LGBT community.
His whole name was Robert Johns, but everybody knew him as Lucky.
Lucky was a charmer. Openly gay, he worked at a series of bars around the city and developed a loyal following that helped him obtain a social club charter. All of Pittsburgh's clubs, and there were hundreds of them, the Elks, the Moose, veterans of foreign wars, required a charter to operate. A chartered club could obtain a liquor license to serve registered members and operate after hours.
Anybody who's ever tried to buy a six-pack of beer in Pittsburgh will tell you our liquor codes are insane, and we actually use them to work to our advantage.
Tim Haggerty is Harrison Apple's advisor and director of the Humanities Scholars Program in CMU's Dietrich College of Humanities and Social Sciences.
These private clubs were built for what we think of as fraternal interests, and we were just a really big fraternity. And what Lucky or Robert Johns saw was that that was a loophole through which one could have a gay club that would not be a public nuisance because of its private membership.
Just 40 years ago, serving a drink to a gay person could be a criminal offense. And most club and bar patrons preferred a degree of anonymity, says Rare.
Nobody ever used a last name. I mean, in general, it was one of those things, you know, you forgot just in case.
The private nature of the clubs allowed gay life to develop in relative safety, says Haggerty.
For the most part, many of the people who went to these clubs were closeted, except for maybe the one night or two nights a week where they went out to these clubs and had a gay identity. The world was different, and you negotiated that world differently.
Many in Pittsburgh's working-class gay community didn't join the era's out-migration. Instead, maybe alone, maybe behind a bar, maybe at a cruising spot, they found a way to live within communities they'd been born into, in a society opposed to a central part of their identities. Apple is working to make this twilight world of Pittsburgh's history better known.
It's so important to do it now. A lot of these people are getting older. A lot of people are passing away. And if we don't do this work, it likely will never happen.
For 90.5 WESA Celebrates Inventing Pittsburgh, I'm Margaret J. Krause.
UPMC is proud to support 90.5 WESA Celebrates Inventing Pittsburgh. UPMC, life-changing medicine.